Coming up, we're going to talk about the disappointment that is Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone at Universal Studios Florida. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Dis Unplugged. This is episode 165 of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. The Dis Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Well, hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining me here today on this episode of the Dis Unplugged Universal Edition. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you. I couldn't remember to say thank you or you're welcome.
Yes.
Well, so manners.
Manners. You said a little bit of both. So, first off, I want to say thank you, everyone, last week for the great response we got to the tickets episode. I know it was very boring, and some people admitted right up front that they just stopped watching and listening to it because they didn't care. Mm-hmm. But there were many out there who did get a lot of useful information about it. So I do appreciate that. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad it could be helpful for those of you out there who liked it, and for those who asked us to just read off the phone book, read all the names out of a phone book, all I could say is no, we're not going to do that. But maybe one day, maybe for Patreon.
That's just you were just going to go through a phone book and read off names and numbers, like we're the Terminator looking for Sarah Connor,
Ansel Adams.
Abernather Abbey, who? I hate you.
Okay, well, there we go. Kept it all in the family there. But anyways, today, because there has been no good news about Universal or anything for a while, basically, like, the last exciting news about Universal lately has been Voodoo Donut, and that's just not coming along quick enough, so it's been a little bit of a struggle for us to find interesting stuff to talk about that we really can get behind what we're passionate with. So,
did you see that there was a commercial for the Fast and the Furious?
There was supposed to be during Furious 7 during when it was airing on Sunday night at the same time as the Oscars, and I don't think anyone was actually watching Furious 7.
I saw a commercial somewhere while I was watching the Oscars. I thought it was during the Oscars.
I remember seeing
the visual from I saw Vin Diesel hanging on to that thing.
I did not watch that. Maybe I was in the bathroom.
Maybe I made it up.
I think you're making it up.
Because I was talking to Eli about it, and I was like, this looks stupid.
But Ryan, I'm pretty sure you're making it up because I haven't heard anyone else talk about it, and no one made a big deal about it on Twitter, and I was on Twitter the entire night.
Maybe it was a dream. Maybe I dreamed a commercial.
If you're dreaming about Vin Diesel, you have problems. No. And this is not the show, but we will find a show to fix you in terms of that. I mean, Vin Diesel, he's a very bald human being.
He is. That's all I got. I imagine he's very smooth, like a snake skin.
I was going to say a handsome person, but I don't even know if I'd say that. I would say he's bald.
I typed in this name wrong. I wrote Universal Studios Fats and Furious. That's going to be the name. That's going to be our spinoff attraction.
That's going to be the next name of the meal deal. Yeah. It's the Fats and the Furious. So, anywho, we've been looking for fun stuff to talk about. And, you know, one of the things that I wish we could talk about and we wish we'd get more information and news on, of course, is what version of Nintendo is coming to Universal Studios Florida. And of course, if you follow any of the rumors that go along with it, you know, we don't really dig into the rumors here on this show just because they change so frequently. I don't share what I hear from the people I know who work at Universal because I would not want them to get in trouble. So a lot of the information that I could share if I ever wanted to is what you would find on a lot of the message forums like Inside Universal, other great websites like that. So I'm not going to just spread around their information and use it as my own. So can't really talk about that. But the one area we do know, even if it's not used for Super Nintendo World or anything, if Super Nintendo World's going to wait and go into the next theme park, if it's going to be placed in a different area, one thing we do know for sure is that Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone will not last forever.
Well, I think that's a good thing.
I don't think anyone would complain about the ultimate demise of Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. And for that reason, we on the show, a lot of times we do attraction reviews and, we do it voting on it for our Hall of Fame. So I thought about what we could do with any of the attractions in Kid Zone, how we could tie that into it. And then I realized, besides E.T. Adventure, there is just nothing worthwhile basing an entire episode off of. And we've already talked about E.T. Adventure on this show. Mm-hmm. We will revisit it one day again. I am positive on that. But I wanted to talk about Kid Zone as a whole before then. And so basically, if you got excited because you saw we're talking Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone and you thought we were going to talk E.T., this is not the episode for that.
We are shutting you down.
Yeah. No E.T. talk. Maybe we'll drop it in here and there, but as a whole, no. This is not going to be about E.T. This is going to be about the rest of Kid Zone, our opinions on it, what's in there, and it's going to be a fun one. So what do you say, Rhino? Should we jump in?
We absolutely should.
Okay. You said that with such a dryness and deadpan to it that it just, I didn't know where it was going. So should we go chronologically or should we go in terms of geographical location inside Kid Zone?
Geographic. I think that tickles me the right way. I don't know what I'm saying here.
Okay, well, unfortunately for us, not unfortunately, that was a weird smash together of words. Fortunately for us, geographically and chronologically, we're going to start at the same place. And that is if we are standing in front of Kid Zone, looking at that whole glorious Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, the first thing you'll notice on your very left, if you're looking straight back into the lane, the first thing on the left, of course, is Animal Actors on Location.
Ugh, I still have never seen this.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like it. I don't like animals being forced to do stuff for people's amusement. It's not fun for me.
Well, that's a shame because I heard that your favorite part of movies are when they feature dogs. So you're a big fan of...
I know, but they're so happy.
You're a big fan of Old Yeller. You're a big fan of Marley and Me.
No.
You're a big fan of A Dog's Purpose.
I almost started dry heave crying during game night when that guy was like, take care of my dog.
Well,
I was like, this is a comedy.
Well, see, if you like the animals in those movies, this is exactly why you should go see Animal Actors on Location. Animal Actors actually dates back to 1990, right around when Universal Studios Florida did open up in 1990. And the first iteration of the show that was open in 1990 was Animal Actors Stage. And this ran all the way until 2000. And then in 2001, that's when, Animal Planet blew up all over your televisions and everyone was watching Animal Planet.
Jeez, yeah.
And then it turned into Animal Planet Live, which that's fun. But then after that, after it kind of went downhill, then it became Animal Actors on Location, and it has stayed that way ever since. And we'll continue, I guess. So basically, if you've ever dreamed of going to a theme park to watch dogs, birds, and other animals perform in a little bit of a show, 20, 30-minute show, then that's what you'll get from Animal Actors on Location. So if you haven't been to Universal, you've been to SeaWorld maybe, they also have their version of the show that's kind of similar, the same idea, take animals that are trained for TV and stuff and make them perform. I think theirs is like Pets Ahoy or something stupid like that.
I think that's Chips Ahoy is what you think.
Well, it puts me in the mood for cookies every time I've seen it. I've only seen the SeaWorld version once, and I've actually only seen animal actors on location once as well, too. Kylie loves the animals, animal actors.
I love animals, definitely, but I just don't know where they're going to sleep at night. So it makes me nervous that they live in a kennel somewhere.
I will say I don't know the exact sleeping quarters and such for animal actors on location. It's something that I never had the experience to see firsthand when I worked at Universal. So I would be interested on that too, but I know as a whole, the animals are well taken care of for the show. So, like, the host of the show is one of the trainers, and they take the animals through tricks that they also would learn when they're performing for television, movies, and such. So, and the great part about this is animal actors, as been known, they will take animals from shelters that they believe can be used for the show and stuff, and they will train them for it. So, and then on the other side of this is after they're, you know, they get some use in the show, every now and then, back at least when I worked there, you did have the ability as a team member to adopt one of the animals used for animal actors. So a lot of the dogs and cats. So it kind of, you know, they basically will get them, train them, and when they're no longer necessary for the show, then they can move on
to
having a nice life. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, they try to feature animals that also, like, represent from TV. So I know at one point in time, the one time I saw the show, like, they had a pug there that they were playing off as the one from Men in Black.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a thing that they do. Like, that's an all-time staple of the show. Like, if they always have the pug that's there for Men in Black to try to push you towards Men in Black. But, I mean, at this point, how many people still watch Men in Black regularly to know who the pug was in it?
I have my Frank, you mean?
Yeah, well, the only reason I know Frank is because Kylie worked at Men in Black. And so she
likes to enjoy the first movie quite a bit.
When's the last time you've watched it, though?
I watched the third one more recently than the first one. I will not watch the second one, though. I do not like that one at all.
See, I just don't watch it at all. I just walk around saying, more sugar, water.
Sugar and water.
He made him an Edgar suit.
It was an Edgar suit. He's walking around in an Edgar suit.
Okay, well, that's how we take it from animal actors to Men in Black. We're just covering all the spectrums. So,
what the heck is going on out there, Edgar? Sorry, I like that movie.
It's got its moments. So I do enjoy it. I just haven't watched it in years. So maybe it's worth revisiting at some point in time.
Just pretend like the second one doesn't exist. Go from one to three, and you're okay.
I don't pretend two or three exists. I've never seen two or three.
Oh, you haven't seen them?
No,
the second one's just not as fun as the first one. The third one, though, I thought the third one was really good.
I don't understand why you need any extra story to it. It had a clean ending.
My issue in the second one is they go to get Kay back. That's what I hate. But the third one's a Will Smith back in time, so it's not really. It's about Kay, but not that Kay. So it's weird.
Yeah, I don't need to see it. It has no impact on my life.
Bill Hader as Andy Warhol. Come on, you've got to go. You've got to see it.
Yeah, well, my Andy Warhol will always be Crispin Glover. So
okay.
Sorry, there's only one.
There's only one Andy Warhol that's not Andy Warhol in my life,
and that's Crispin Glover. So, animal actors, we've heard Rhino Slots. He's not done it, but maybe he will do it now that he knows the animals at least are taken care of somewhat.
Yeah.
But no, he's still not going to do it. Animal actors, I think it serves a purpose as of right now. It is a very big footprint in that stadium. So while it is like partially enclosed, so it's not overly hot, it's still, you don't want to sit out in a muggy stadium filled with people. But I guess that's also one of the other benefits, too, is that the one time I saw the show, it was only half full. So
I'd like it turned into something more something else.
That's yeah.
But which I'm sure we like know. Nintendo. Well. Yeah, something weird like that.
Yeah. So let's continue our way back. We at this point, we're singing off in the distance towards the right. We're, you know, we're making our way past the SpongeBob store. We see the pizza place just wishing that the pizza fries would come back.
Did you always think that was weird that there's just like that's the only SpongeBob thing there is? Like, SpongeBob is there, and, like, SpongeBob is still a thing. Why didn't they ever do, like, a SpongeBob attraction or something?
I
don't know the deal. You don't either, probably. But I'm just saying. I always think it's... I always walk by, and I forget it's there. Where's the Krabby Patty?
I would assume it's just one of those things that, while they took advantage of SpongeBob with the meet and greet, having him being part of the parade and other stuff, like, they deemed that to be enough. But did you really think SpongeBob was still going to be popular to this day?
They still make new episodes.
I understand that, but if you would have told
me... I'm not a SpongeBob fan, so I'm not somebody that's advocating for SpongeBob. It just surprises me.
If you would have told me 10 years ago
that
SpongeBob would still be relevant, I would laugh in your face. I would say maybe nostalgia-wise, kind of like, you know, we're all going through our big Nicktoons phase and all the 90s TV shows, but I would have never thought that it's like, it's still being regularly produced. Kids of a complete different generation than us still like this character.
And
like,
that's how bonkers. Many movies are there? Yeah, you're like, what?
Yeah, so... I don't know. I don't know if anyone could have predicted his longevity. But, at the same time, too, would you want them to be like Disney and double down and be like, you know what, we're finally going to give SpongeBob his fair due after all these years, and we're finally going to give him a ride 20 years later. Would you really want that?
Who are they doing that for?
It's, well, the Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
It was 20 years after the movie came out.
Valid point.
So, but, you know, Disney movies, SpongeBob, two different things, but regardless.
Do your noise. Okay. All right, enough about SpongeBob.
It's been a while. So, yeah, we're skipping E.T. We see E.T. off to the right. We're saying, you know what? Pizza fries were there, wanted that. SpongeBob's there, meh. E.T., want that. But no, we are going to continue on, and the next thing we are going to see is Fievel's Playland.
Yeah.
Which, chronologically, once again, it is still going in order, because Fievel's Playland opened up in 1992 inside this area.
Oh, wow. What year did this park open?
1990.
Oh, so, okay. I don't know why I thought 93 for some weird reason, but... I loved Fievel when I was a kid. I loved American Tail. And then I remember when Fievel Goes West came out. And I think I saw it in the movie theater, actually, because I was too afraid to see the Addams Family.
I know for a fact I saw an American Tail, Fievel Goes West. We saw it at the Dollar Theater. And if I can remember correctly, which I do, I believe we saw it in the Dollar Theater in downtown Butler, like on the second floor of a old, like, it was just like a little tiny movie theater. But my mom will correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I believe that's when we saw it. And regardless, I remember seeing it in theaters. This wasn't the first iteration of an American Tale inside Universal Studios Florida. If you remember all the way back from when we talked about Beetlejuice's Graveyard Mashup, and we discussed that show as it was going away and what we thought about it, you might remember how that theater started off originally as an American Tales show.
I do not remember that.
Oh, well, and now I refresh your memory on that. It started all the way back then, and then... it turned into Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review, which ran the rest of the time. But American Tail essentially got displaced. The show went away. And instead, Fievel's Playland opened up. And, you know, there's not much to say about Fievel's Playland. It's a playground. But if you have seen an American Tail, Fievel Goes West, then you will recognize everything. And I do have to point out, too, if you haven't seen it, there's no excuse, because both An American Tale and Fievel Goes West, I am slipping up on that, they are both available to stream for free on Netflix.
Good. I'm going to tell my mom to show it to my nephews.
Yeah. No, there is no excuse for being like, oh, I can't find it. My kids would have zero interest in it. it is readily available to watch. It is obviously, both of those movies were made by Don Bluth, who was originally a Disney animator before he left and started his own thing and made classics like Land Before Time, along
oh,
with...
That's apparently the first movie I've ever seen in the movie theater, is what I'm told.
Mm.
I don't remember it, but I believe my father.
Good. Did your dad tell you when you just saw him?
No.
Okay.
He did not. I think it's actually the only movie we've been in the movie. Oh, I lied. Ace Ventura 2. We also saw that together.
Yeah, I only saw two movies with my dad.
Yeah.
Land Before Time
and Ace Ventura 2.
Yeah.
He was going for a theme. We're only allowed to see the number. Like, so it's the second movie we saw was the second movie.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. But yeah, so so it's based on the movie. You can go out and watch it. Essentially, you know, Cats continued to the plot of the movie is Cats. The Cats have continued to make the mice's stay in New York complete miserable pain. So they set up a scheme where they get all the mice sent out into the West for the land of opportunity.
God, I do not remember the plot of this movie.
I put it on, I want to say maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, and I watched it for a solid 45 minutes, and then it just became so...
Fievel goes... The second one.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even remember the plot of the first one. He's separated from his family, isn't he? And then he's got the seagull or something. Never say never again. They sing in the Statue of Liberty, right?
Yes, and the first one is also very, very difficult. But yeah, that's about Fievel being separated from his family.
Even as a kid, I remember the first one being kind of slow and always preferring the second one. But now you're giving me the plot of the second one. I remember there being a spider.
Yes, there is the spider.
That's part of the playland, because there's a big spider there too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't remember his name.
I don't either, even though I just, like I said, I watched it 2 months ago, and the main cat is voiced by John Cleese from Monty Python. And
That's right.
Yeah, it's just, it's very tough to watch. I wish I could say it was better. It's definitely entertaining for kids. I didn't realize there was two other movies. There was two more direct-to-video sequels, yeah.
Were they?
After Fievel Goes West. It was... Hold on. Let me click
I feel
back.
Like maybe I did know of at least one.
It was Treasure of Manhattan Island and the Mystery of the Night Monster.
I did not know of either. Never mind.
Yeah. No, that's all good. But,
They tried to keep it relevant. Couldn't hang on to those 15 Land Before Time movies.
That's just a whole other story. But yeah, so the big thing about Fievel's Playland, of course, though, is while it is just a normal playground for kids, they're going to be able to run around, have a great time. You'll be able to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that from the movie. I remember that.
Yeah.
There is a water slide in there that adults and kids can slide down.
I didn't know adults could go down it, too.
Yes, adults can go down it. And
but you'll get wet, won't you?
You can get a little splashy. But
okay.
It's not that bad. So it's fun. So I mean, it definitely sets it itself apart from other playgrounds. Relevancy, you know, that's a different topic, but I think it has some entertainment for kids. But its time has come and gone. I think we can both agree.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah. So let us continue making our way back a little bit further. And now we're kind of coming towards the end. So should we look to the left or should we look to the right, Rhino?
Ugh, I know what's on the left. I don't know what's on the right.
Well, on the right is a little attraction known as Woody Woodpecker's Nuthouse Coaster. So, yes.
What? I'm...
You like the name?
I don't get it.
Well,
I guess because he's crazy? Birds don't eat nuts, right? I don't know.
Well, that's because he's not. It's Woody Woodpecker taking you through his nut factory. Like, as in nuts and bolts.
Oh, I was thinking like Like a squirrel?
No.
Oh, that makes, I guess, more sense.
It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? This, of course, is a little kiddie coaster, a family coaster. It was built in 1999.
Years after Woody Woodpecker was no longer relevant?
Well, we'll get into that after,
I will say, there is a video, like a VHS tape of me in my pajamas as a small child. It may be one of the earliest videos of me watching Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah. Well, so this essentially, when I say kiddie coaster, this is like the Barnstormer or Flight of the Hippogriff, little coaster inside Universal Studios Florida. And as I said, it's kind of a ride through Woody Woodpecker's Nut Factory. And I think the plot is honestly thought out more than the ride itself, because if you've never been on, it is 44 seconds. And, like, I was embarrassed when I went and did the video for it way back in the day for the site, because, like, I'm getting ready, getting excited. I'm like, I'm going to do the back row, make it, like, seem speedy and ready. And you literally do three turns, and it's over. So it's a pretty interesting, to say the least. So
small nut factory.
Yeah, it's obviously it's just loosely based. You hear Woody Woodpecker laughing and all that good stuff, but yeah, it's just a small little outdoor coaster with not much into it. The big question, as Rhino did bring up with it, is again a relevancy factor with Woody Woodpecker as a whole. Granted, Kidzone is named after him.
And he's the official mascot, right?
He is the official mascot. And I read up a little bit on it, and Universal bought him, I believe, in the mid-80s. And they purchased the rights for the character, because back in that day, you know, Mickey Mouse is the mainstream Disney, and you had Bugs Bunny is kind of the figurehead of Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So Universal bought Woody Woodpecker to be their figurehead. Well, and it just never picked up.
Yeah.
But I will say, like you just mentioned, that there's a VHS tape of you watching Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, I loved Woody Woodpecker when I was a kid.
It was the same was with me. Like I grew up on, I don't know what channel they would have aired
I have no idea.
But I grew up watching Popeye, Woody Woodpecker,
I love Popeye.
You know, all the Looney Tunes, which obviously those were on like Cartoon Network before they got kicked out to Boomerang.
Well, all channels had cartoon programming during the morning and on the weekends back then. Television was a different landscape in those days.
Yeah.
Now hearing it and listening back to it, I feel like our parents must have been saints letting us watch a thing that made such an annoying noise so frequently.
Oh, yeah. No, but I think it also was one of those products of the time, because our parents would have watched Woody Woodpecker and stuff too. Like, I know my parents grew up watching stuff that things like that. But like my dad grew up watching on, I guess once they had a TV, or if they always had a TV, I don't know. But he has an affinity for the Three Stooges.
And what year was your dad born in?
1937.
Your father was not born. I was just about to be like, my grandparents were born in 1933.
My dad is born in the 50s.
That's all I needed.
Towards the end.
Okay.
I won't give away his age.
Isn't that a weird thing?
Yeah.
He could have been born and they wouldn't have had a TV in the house. I'm not saying your dad's old. Yeah. I'm just saying we've come a long way.
Yeah, I honestly don't know when. Obviously, he got it. It might not have been one of those things that he started watching The Stooges until he was older. But that's something like I can remember when I was growing up, even sometimes still when there's like a Stooges marathon on, he'll have it on. So kind of that wacky, zany 20s, 30s, 40s humor.
It's that slapstick,
It's something that was just ingrained. So while nowadays I think people would find Woody Woodpecker annoying, I don't know if it's something that like my parents thought was annoying back in the day. Or maybe they were just like, well, you know what? It beats him watching Matlock. That was another
watching
one of my dad's
of Diagnosis
shows.
Murder, are you?
Yeah. No, that's it. We always had to shut up when 60 Minutes and Matlock came on.
You could hear the tick, 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 and you knew you had 1 minute to shut up.
But so obviously Woody Woodpecker has kind of gained relevancy again because of the awful live-action movie that was just recently released.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. Mm. It's on Netflix to stream for free again.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
Didn't it just come out? It wasn't even a movie theater movie, was it?
I think it was released directly. It wasn't like a Netflix original release, but it was released and then it made its way to Netflix like immediately. So I haven't watched it yet. I really should because, you know, as a former Universal employee, I do have a little bit of an affinity for Woody Woodpecker. He's, if you ever get close to a team member there and look at their name badge, if they've got the little pin, you know, obviously at Disney, the one-year pin is your Steamboat Mickey. But over at Universal, your one-year pin is Woody Woodpecker. So,
and his nut factory.
It is nuts. But you can still meet Woody Woodpecker in the park. They have him in, I forget the girl's name.
Lady Pecker. I don't know her name. I didn't even know he had a girlfriend. What is her name?
I'm not going to look it up, but that would take too much effort, and then it would distract me from this. You know what? I honestly think they will lose nothing when Nuthouse Coaster closes down.
Okay, here's the thing, too. They now have developed, unintentionally or intentionally, their unofficial mascot, which are the Minions.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. And I think they've got a character that nobody will ever question. Oh, where did those guys come from? It's more like, because Illumination is an in-house Universal Animation Studio, right?
Yes.
Or did they acquire them later?
I believe it was always their studio. I don't think they bought it.
Her name is Winnie Woodpecker. I assumed it was with a W.
There you go. But no, they're not going to ever ditch. They would have already ditched Woody Woodpecker if they were going to. I do agree with you. The Minions are clearly their mascot now. Yeah. That's what you will most certainly recognize, but I don't think Universal's just going to ditch it. As for Woody Woodpecker's Nuthouse Coaster, I don't think they'll like scrap it completely when they demolish this area.
Retheme it.
It depends on what. If Nintendo goes in here, then I think it will be taken apart piece by piece, and then when the new park opens up, I think it'll be repurposed over there. For some reason, if they...
A new park, excuse you. You think they're going to make a new park?
Oh, eventually they will.
Just put it in storage till then?
Yeah. I mean, or they'll just scrap it completely. It's not that intricate that it would cost a lot.
You're right. It's like a little tiny Erect-A-Set roller coaster.
But, you know, it's something that the only way I could see them leaving it in the spot is if they did go completely off the walls and say, you know what? We screwed up with where we put Despicable Me. We shouldn't have put it in the space where Jimmy Neutron was. We should have put it back over by E.T. and made that a super silly fun land and had that area. That's the only way. But that would, you know, that is not even a rumor. That's just the blue sky thinking that I've always thought. Like, I want Nintendo too. World in that area, I would have loved to have super silly fun land back there.
Yeah.
But
we would have been able to do a lot more, a lot quicker, I feel like. But
yeah.
They don't work in creative. We don't know
exactly. It's in, you know what, we might never, so, but we can always dream. So let's go across the street. This one should be a quick conversation on this. That's of course the attraction that opened up in 1995. You heard us rave about it on the Christmas episode we did. I am talking, of course, about A Day in the Park with Barney.
Do not like it.
Yeah. So I know you have never seen the regular version of the show. You've only been blessed with the Christmas version of the show. Would it surprise you to find out that the two versions of the show are not that different?
It would not.
Well,
the Christmas one felt like that moment when you like somebody you don't like hugs you and they don't let go, and you're like, oh, this is what it feels like to be trapped in my own body. That's what Barney feels like.
Yeah, it's essentially basically the same exact thing. So like it starts off with your pre-show with the creepy Mr. Peekaboo. He has a full name, but he shortens
Jeremiah
it to,
Peekaboo. I don't know if that's it, but
I'm not pulling it up either. That's another one. I'm just not looking it up.
You don't want that search history.
Yeah, I don't need that. So, but Mr. Peekaboo has his parrot Bartholomew, and that's part of the pre-show wacky with Christmas. Obviously, it's talking about like, oh, we're looking for gifts and stuff, but
it's Patrick Aloysius Bartholomew, but he mostly goes by Peekaboo. I can't even say this word. Aloysius. A-L-O-Y-S-I-U-S. I don't know that name.
We'd have to watch the video.
I would not. I would rather not.
Remember, he sings about it in the song. Oh, like, good. He has his whole song in the pre-show about his name being Mr. Peekaboo. Huh. So...
There's a lady peekaboo here. Okay, sorry.
A lady peekaboo. But Mr. Peekaboo.
Peekaboo, I say, let's make it Pikachu and move on. Boom, nailed it.
I get what they're going for with it. They're going for the aspect of like, well, Sesame Street has adults in it.
That's what I was just going to say, Sesame Street,
yeah. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood has adults in it. We're going to have Mr. Peekaboo. And I don't think... It's too much of a stretch to figure out that Mr. Peekaboo just feels a little awkward in this setting full of kids.
I'm not leaving my kids alone in there.
I don't want to reference the Florida Project in multiple episodes, but if you've seen the movie, there's a very awkward part where a Mr. Peekaboo in that movie comes up to a group of kids, and that's... You haven't seen it yet?
No, jeez.
One in Orlando, am I right? But anyways,
authentic.
You move into the main theater, which is a theater in the round, three different seating areas, and after using some magic, Barney appears out of nowhere, basically out of thin air. Eventually, he's joined by Baby Bop and BJ. And they start singing songs. And if you're wondering, like, are they like Tony caliber songs? Like, is this good theater? Well, you're going to hear such classics as If You're Happy and You Know It.
Mm.
So I know that's one of Rhino's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Two of his favorite songs I know from this show are, he was very confused during the Christmas version of the show because it's in both the regular and the Christmas version.
It's Holiday Road.
The Mr. Knickerbocker, as well as Down on Grandpa's Farm. Have you really blocked this out of your memory?
Yeah.
You don't
I remember the...
Hey, they brought Mr. Knickerbocker, what do you say?
I remember them bringing out weird farm animal things.
Yeah, and then that's part of Down on Grandpa's Farm. And
it was a song I'd never heard before.
And it's a song that... If you have your say, you will never hear it again. But, it's a sing-along show. Barney and all the characters are running around the stage having fun, singing these child-friendly songs. And then, at like the TV show, it will end with, I love you, you love me. We're a happy family. Great big hug.
And a kiss from me to you.
Don't tell your
parents.
What peekaboo. And well,
I'm sorry if there's any actors that are associated with the show that are there. I will give you credit. You are doing a wonderful job at being committed to these characters full and full, and maybe that's why it feels so weird. But it's not you personally, it's just the setup. So I don't mean to insult anybody. Individual, but this show definitely feels a little.
It's not an insult.
Law and Order SVU to me.
It's not an insult on the character. They like Kylie and I have a friend who has performed as Barney in the show, and we've seen the other characters that do it, as well as the person who plays Mr. Peekaboo. This is not a statement on their actual performances. They give it their all, even when there's only three kids in the show and they're just like bouncing around on stage for no reason. And they still put their all into their performances, like they should. And it's really good to see that they give it 100%. It's on Universal for writing such a creepy character.
Yeah.
And especially because, like, right after the show's over, after they're done singing, there's a photo opportunity with Barney, and then Mr. Peekaboo leads them into the playground. So it's very weird. It's just very weird. And then eventually you make it into the gift shop where you're going to not spend money on Barney stuff. And then hopefully you'll run away. So that's a day in the park with Barney for you. Hey there, Mr. Knickerbocker. What do you say?
I don't want to say anything.
Okay. So we'll finish up here with the last attraction inside Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, and that is Curious George Goes to Town, based on the classic book series and film Curious George.
Oh.
I believe it was Will Ferrell who played the man in the hat.
Yeah, in the animated movie, right? Yeah. I believe Ron Howard had something to do with that. No?
I know that Jack Johnson did the soundtrack.
He sure did. And that is one album that would never stop playing at Borders. Is, you know how much I love Jack Johnson.
Well, he's a great artist. So.
I know you love Jack Johnson. He's just too relaxing for me. His voice is like a pillowy pancake.
That is about the greatest compliment you can ever give anyone.
Making banana pancakes. That's not even on the... No. That's not even on the Curious George soundtrack.
No, it's not. You get classics like Upside Down. But it doesn't matter because this is solely on the books. And essentially, this is just another playground area opened in 1998.
I will tell you, when you walk in and you observe, the first thing you're going to see is a Curious George statue.
Yeah.
Or a Curious George. And I don't know who made this thing, and they thought it, like, this looks good from a distance, right? There is a pole right up into his butt. And I'm not trying to be graphic, but it makes me giggle because it's, you when you go, you can go see it. But it is one of those, I think it's for other parents to giggle at. So
yeah, well, that's good. And I know a lot of parents are upset because Curious George Goes to Town was originally the spot where the Bates Mansion was set up use in the filming of Psycho 4.
Now I'm furious because I did not know that's where the house was.
And the house was removed, obviously, and that was all gone. So Curious George gets set up in there, and yeah, it's another water-enhanced playground area. If you can, I will say, the only thing I always tell people, I've talked about on the show before, as an adult, yes, you are going to feel weird if you don't have kids in here, but... One of the things I always recommend, walk all the way through, avoid the water spots, and try not to get wet. Once you get back in the main structure of the building, there are these guns that are inside that shoot little soft balls at kids. So essentially, you can go in there and not know anyone in there, and you can just shoot balls at kids. And
a little stress reliever.
It's actually a lot of fun. It's what a lot of the team members do when they're like having a bad mood. They just shoot the kids because no one, like, you know, you're getting shot with softballs and stuff. The kids are just laughing and having fun.
Ball pit balls, right?
Yeah. And it's, you know, you're just avoiding them and like, oh. So it's one of those things. It would be creepy for an adult to go back there by themselves, but if you're going to do it, so that way you can at least enhance other people's experiences, because I think a lot of parents will just stand on the edges and be like, go play, we're here. You don't go all the way back and see what's in there.
Yeah.
And but you know, it's cute. It's definitely again another thing that sets this apart from just your other standard playgrounds that you'll sometimes find in theme parks. So like I said, that's it, because we're not talking about E.T. Adventure. So Rhino, your thoughts on Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone as a whole?
Weird. I not great. I mean, if you're a little kid, definitely, I think you could have a lot of fun in there. The Barney thing, it's not really as relevant anymore. Like, if you're a little kid, you might enjoy seeing the dinosaur. You might not. You might not like characters and costumes. It's kind of like a either way thing. The Curious George area is probably the most fun, I think. But when it goes, I don't think there will be many who will be sad to see it go. Also, Ron Howard had nothing to do with Curious George.
I didn't think so.
And I didn't know Dick Van Dyke was a voice in it.
Either. No. Oh, no. Yeah, I kind of agree with you on Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. It's great right now because it is an area where parents who bring children that are on the younger side can't do a lot of the big attractions. This is an area for them to go and run and play around, which... I understand that's what they want to do. It doesn't, as a person who's not a parent yet, for me, I am like slightly baffled and that like you take them to these theme parks, you take kids to the theme parks, and then all they want to do is run around on these playgrounds. But, you know, they are more intricately themed than an average one. But like, you know, I don't know if she watches the Universal show, but like I went to Magic Kingdom with Ashley and our friend that watches a lot of the shows and stuff, a friend of the show, and her kids wanted to just go play on the playground in Magic Kingdom. And it's like, this is so odd.
That what playground?
The one back in by Dumbo.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just odd. It's like, there is so much to do with all these intensely designed attractions, but kids just want to play. And so I think that, you know, while you have, if I ran the zoo over an Islands of Adventure, as soon as this closes down, that really takes that away from Universal Studios. So something would have to be put in its place before it can fully go, because I think it is necessary to have that. Unless Universal's going to say, you know what, don't bring your kids here, because that's not the demographic we want, which I don't believe that to be the case. They need something. They need a Super Silly Funland or something equivalent to that. And we've said that a couple times now. If you don't know, don't remember us talking about it in the past, Super Silly Funland is the Despicable Me area in Universal Studios Hollywood that is just amazing. It's like you're stepping into a complete Minion theme park for kids. So very well done. But as a whole, Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone is outdated and just wasting space. So, you know, obviously, E.T. will be safe with whatever happens. So don't worry about E.T. Everything else is going to change, and hopefully it changes for the better. But yeah, we want to hear your thoughts and opinions on Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. So, of course, comment down below and let us know what you think about it, because we really are interested. And if you just want to comment about any random thing, go ahead and do it. No one's stopping you. In fact, I'm encouraging you. Also, hit that thumbs up button, because that also helps us. And if you're not subscribed, make sure you hit that subscribe button, because, well, that just took me into the wrap up of the show. Thank you so much for having this conversation, Rhino.
You're welcome.
And thank you out there to everyone who listened and watched this. So I already went over YouTube. So, of course, if you listen to this on iTunes, make sure you are subscribed and you rate and review us on there. So that way you can help steer people away from giving us a chance once they read those scathing reviews and our bad rating. But at least you're being honest. So honesty means a lot. And, of course, if you need more information, disunplugged.com, home of the show notes for all the shows on Diz Unplugged, and where you'll find links to our social medias on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more. So thank you so much again to everyone out there who listened and watched this. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you next week for another episode. But until then, remember, no resolutions. Thank you.